Today's Veterans Radio program is dedicated to the United States Marine Corps.
From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Bob Gould.
Oh, yeah, that sign just lit up on the air. We're on the air right now. Veterans Radio coming to you from beautiful Ann Arbor, Michigan on a gorgeous day. Just about every day is a good day in Ann Arbor. Wouldn't you say that, Dale, my partner of 9 years?
It's amazing. We want to thank everybody out there for supporting Veterans Radio and for listening to our programs. As Bob just mentioned, 9 years of programming.
Wow.
And we've gotten the opportunity to talk to the most amazing men and women in the history of this country. And we want to make sure that we continue doing that. So we want to thank you again for supporting us the time.
It's a heck of a format we got because it just keeps us going.
It does. And we also want to say hi to Nina, who is running the board.
Absolutely. Nina, do you have your microphone
up
there?
Good morning, Bob and Dale.
Okay, yes. And she's a graduate of the University of Michigan. And we better not go there. No. Okay, strike that one, folks. And Dale has been my partner. I think it's been just about 9 years that we met but when we shook on this in July. Wasn't it like the first week of July when we said, let's do this?
Right. The idea for the programming came from talking to some older veterans, and we wanted to make sure that we could get their stories out. And it's just kind of evolved from there. And through the help of Gary Lilly, of course, and Ken Rogge, and so many other organizations and people and individuals, we can't thank them enough for helping us get on the air and for helping us stay on the air.
And
we do want to thank very much WDEO and Ave Maria Radio. Without them, we know that we would be broadcasting out of my basement somewhere strictly on the Internet instead of talking to 100,000 live people every Saturday morning.
I love it. All over the world. All over the world. And that is, right, we wrote everything down on a napkin.
I don't even think it was on a napkin. I think it was on my hand. It's still there.
There it is. But we have to tell you, folks, it was 10 o'clock in the morning. We were at a business meeting. We said, the heck with this. We're not listening to this stuff.
Well, they were cutting commission.
They just cut our commission. I said to Dale at the first break, let's get out of here. They had a bar, and they just opened up at about 10 o'clock in the morning at the Holiday Inn. And that's how Veterans Radio was formed. But anyway, today on Veterans Radio, it's all about the Marines and business. I have been waiting to do this program for a couple of years, truly, waiting to do this program because I know, this was after we talked with Gunny Ermey, when he was on our program, and I asked him, because he talked about all the movies he's been in and the television programs that he had, and I said, what part of your Marine training have you been able to take with you and that has meant so much to your success? And he thought, and you could hear the wheels grinding, the gears are grinding, and I don't know, it took like about 3-4 seconds of dead air because he was thinking, and he said, they taught me not to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what spurred this program on, folks. So today we're going to be talking about the Marine Corps management principles. We have with us author David H. Friedman. And what a guy. Boy, I'm just looking at this man's bio and all the books that he's... I got to find out all about this.
There's all kinds of things. We had a lot of other people that we wanted to talk to that were Marines, successful Marine businessmen. Even in the local area, we had Little Caesars, Mike Illich. We had Domino's Pizza, former founder, and Mr. Monahan. We've got Fred Smith of Federal Express.
Yeah.
They're just all over the place. And one of the things that I was talking to another Marine just this week, and I was mentioning that Mr. Friedman was going to be on the program, and he said, that's what they taught us. You just never give up. You never fail. You always have another plan. You just keep moving.
You know, and that's we'll talk about that at halfway.
Right.
Right, we'll talk about that halfway through the program. So, as we do it always at the top of the hour, we'd like to tell you folks about what's going on. We try to make it a national interest in war churches. throughout the nation. Ward churches do patriotic programs, veterans programs. And here is one in particular in Plymouth, Michigan, Ward Church Patriotic Pops, O America, annual concert announcement. And to help us with that, I have Darlene Sitar, a volunteer at the VA in Ann Arbor, but she's also involved with patriotic programs, veterans programs at Ward Church. Her dad was a Marine, so she has a lot of personal interest in this. Darlene, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, hi. Good morning there, Bob.
Well, I know it's been a while since I've gotten you on the program. We've always talked about it, and now you're on. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this O America Patriot Pops annual concert honoring God and country.
It's a pretty exciting thing here in Northville, Michigan, Bob, here at Ward Church. Annually, it's one of our biggest, as all the major concerts at Ward are free, and we have child care through age four, but it is all about God and country. We're inviting all military, past and, you know, enlisted veterans. If you have your uniform, wear it. And we have a full orchestra under the direction, church leadership under Senior Pastor Dr. Scott McKee and Dr. Carol Hamill Kangas over the Ward Orchestra. Full orchestra surrounds the Steinway grand piano and our chancel choir, which is pretty awesome when you hear them strike up the chords.
Yeah, so it sounds like a lot of people are going to get a lump in their throat. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, you know, the concert, Bob, is at 6 p.m., but people start loading that 2,000-plus seat sanctuary there an hour before the concert. Seven doors, seven parking lots. Everyone is invited.
Hi, Darlene. This is Dale. I just wanted to remind our audience, especially in southeastern Michigan, about this concert. I've attended it a few times. I have a couple of good friends that participate in the choir. And it is an amazing concert, and you will get a lump in your throat. And they do honor all the veterans that are in the audience and, of course, all around the world. You need to see this sanctuary. It's just beautiful, and the music is awe-inspiring. It is a great concert, and I'm looking forward. I know I'm going to be there again this year, and it's nice because I meld in. You never know. Is it tomorrow?
Absolutely. Yeah. You come to Ward, you're with veterans, it's God and country, you are with family.
Yep, it is, and I encourage people to go to this.
Now, who is this put on throughout the country? Are other Ward churches? No, they're not.
Well, Ward is the big church. We have a lot of daughter churches in the area, Farmington Hills, Ann Arbor, Plymouth. We also have daughter churches abroad. Last year, Dr. Scott McKee launched three more daughter churches, one in Africa, one in India.
Oh, my goodness. So,
and, yeah, it's pretty exciting. And we have a year-round military ministry. We have nine people. There are nine people year-round. At Ward, we have just under 100 people, I believe, enlisted. Around 20 are currently deployed. There's a huge presence there year-round with support for our military. And we just really encourage people to come out.
Okay. Now,
I can tell you, Chancel Choir, when you hear, they are just over the top. I heard a major piece years ago at Carnegie Hall, and when Ward sung the same pieces, it was just amazing. It was over the top.
Okay, Dale, do you have anything else?
Nope. And when is that again, Darlene?
The All America Patriotic Pops concert at Ward Church, 6 p.m. tomorrow night, Sunday. If you please plan to come early, we have plenty of seating. But veterans, friends, and family showing up, you will be sure to meet, come run into people that you know or haven't seen in many years.
Can you bring the kids?
Absolutely, children are welcome. And the smaller ones, we do have child care up until age four.
Okay. Now, Darlene, as a last item, here we go. I'd like you, in your best voice, give an invitation to all our listeners.
Absolutely. Anyone and everyone, you are welcome. The concert is free. All seven doors are manned by meet and greet staff who also have wheelchairs. We can accommodate everyone.
Thank you very much, Darlene, for being on the program. And
Thank you, Bob.
Okay.
Thank you, Dale.
Okay, Darlene, thank you. Remind people that Ward Church is on the corner of 7 Mile and Haggerty Road.
No, 6 Mile.
Is it 6 Mile?
6 Mile.
6 Mile. It's right behind Barnes & Noble, right across from Schoolcraft College. You'll find it.
Yeah. You actually do not see the sanctuary. The property is so large. The sanctuary is on a hill. And you have to take that drive behind the Barnes & Noble, and you'll see it coming up on the left on the hill. Can't miss it.
Okay, thank you, Darlene. And right now, you can't miss this, as we're going to give you the message from the Marine Scholars Program of Ave Maria.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University by combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill. The benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu. Or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
After that, and part of our marine program, Marine and Business Today, I want to read something that came in off the wire service, and it's a little introduction for our subject matter today. It's called Home from Far. A funeral was held for a 20-year-old who went missing during World War II. Marine PFC John A. Donovan was identified recently and was buried over here in Northfield Church, just outside of Ann Arbor. Donovan of Plymouth, Michigan, was one of seven members of a bomber squadron that went on a training mission April 22, 1944, in the South Pacific. He never returned. He was 20 years old. Donovan's remains were returned to Michigan, and he was laid to rest just the other day in a cemetery next to his brother's. Quote, this is closure for something that has been long overdue, said Timothy Donovan of Fowlerville, John Donovan's nephew. Timothy Donovan also said that the family was grateful for the persistence of the Marine Corps in searching for his uncle. I think that's a great segue to go into what we're talking about. Persistence, no failure. Keep going. On the line with me is my guest today, author David H. Friedman. Mr. Friedman is a contributing editor for Inc. magazine, The Atlantic, The New York Times, Harvard Business Review, Fast Company, other publications. He has books, his latest book, Wrong, about why experts keep failing us. Oh, that's going to be interesting. Yeah, we're going to be talking about that. And Was a Perfect Mess, he co-authored that. It's about the useful role of disorder in daily life. And then on top of the 30 management principles. Oh, I can't wait. He lives near Boston. Yes, sir, I bet he has a lot of seafood out there. Mr. Friedman, welcome. David, welcome to Veterans Radio.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And we have been emailing back and forth, David and myself, for the past 2 weeks, and now he's on the program. Well, there's so much here, and I almost don't know where to start, but what I want to say is, were all the components there about the 30 management principles, and it was you who put them all together? Is that the way this whole thing started?
Basically, yes. It actually started with my brother-in-law, who was in the Naval Reserves, And he started telling me about the Marines when we were jogging together, and it just sounded so interesting and impressive and inspirational. And I was writing about business, and I thought, boy, I bet a lot of people in the business world could learn from what the Marines have figured out. And I ended up spending a lot of time with the Marines, and that just turned out to be true.
Did they offer their support in your authoring this book?
They were great from the beginning, all the way up to the commandant at the time, General Charles Krulak, who spent a good amount of time with me as well. The Marines have a great story to tell. They know that. They care about what the public thinks. They appreciate the public support, and they're very proud of what they do. So they were extremely cooperative. They took a very big interest in my project and really opened the doors and the ports on their ships as well to really get me inside and show me how they work and what they do.
How long did it take you to write this book?
It took about a year. I spent many months spending time with Marines all around the world, out on the ocean and here in the East and the West Coast. And I went as far as Japan at an embassy to see how they protect our embassies. And then I spent a lot of time putting it all together, and it took about a year.
Now, when did you finish your book, and when was it released to the public?
The book was out, I think at this point now we must be getting pretty close to 10 years. Has it been that
long? Oh, okay.
It's been a while, yeah. It's actually closer to 12 years now. So it's been quite a while, but the book continues to get a lot of interest. It's been my most popular book, and it's one that keeps getting passed around. So I've been very, very pleased and proud about that.
It's titled Core Business, the 30 Management Principles, right? Core Business and the 30 Management Principles. And who's the publisher, David?
It was actually published by Harper Business, a great publishing company, and they were very supportive as well. The book has really been very widely distributed and in a number of countries as well.
And I would like to think that the theme is how the Corps has evolved from a highly disciplined strike force to a highly disciplined strike force with a management philosophy. Now, I'm looking here at Dale, and you know, what was the management philosophy that we remember? Keep your ears open and your mouth shut and follow orders. That was about it, right?
Well, no, I can't quite agree with that. I think the military in general, especially the American military, is that they always, you're supposed to follow orders. But if those orders don't work, then you have the ability to improvise as you go, and that's kind of been a real advantage to the American military over some other forms of military that have been out there. Because I know when you were sent on a mission, and I was talking to a Marine just this week about that, and I said, what happened when Plan B went bad? And it always, or Plan A, which was the original, that always would go bad. And so then you would have to go to B, C, D, or whatever it was. But you were taught to think on your feet, to never fail, to never give up, and to continue moving. I'm interested in finding out about these principles, and I'm sure that it's going to be cool.
Well, I think that's called a segue.
I think so.
So let's talk about aim for the 70% solution. That, by the way, David, before, are these in a chronological or this order for anything in particular, or are they just random?
Well, I wouldn't say quite random, but not chronological either. I did put a lot of thought into how to sum these principles up. And let me point out, these principles are not the principles that the Marines themselves formally hold out as their principles. These are the principles that were distilled in my conversations with Marines of all ranks, of all types, serving in all positions. And I certainly asked the Marines when I finally came out with this final list what they thought, and they helped me finalize it with their advice. But no, I put it in an order that I thought would be most useful to people, but otherwise no special order.
Okay. Aim for the 70% solution. Go ahead. Let's try on that one. That, I love that one.
Yeah, I think that's appropriately the first one. And I think if there's just one thing to remember about the way the Marines work, that this wouldn't be a bad one. And the idea here is the Marines like to be as thoughtful as possible. If there's time to think about a problem, you think about it. You plan, you organize, you research. It's a very, very thoughtful, very well-educated organization. Marines are required to read as part of their training. I've never met people who are more widely read and eager to get information. But having said all that, they don't like to overthink problems. At a certain point, you have to act. To a Marine, the worst thing is to simply not act because you can't make a decision. And you'll never have perfect information, especially in a battle where things get complex and foggy. So they say, if you have something that has about a 70% chance of working, then pull the trigger. Go. Do it. That means you're going to fail about a third of the time. But that is a trade-off worth making, because the alternative is you're too slow to act, and the Marines believe you have to act.
Ed, what I've also gleaned from this is that you have one of your tenets is Marines reward failure. Now, right away, people, failure. But if I can just interject just very quickly, Thomas Edison, when he was making the light bulb, had a couple of thousand experience and that just didn't work. And they asked him, are those failures? He said, no, they're just ways of doing something. So how does that extrapolate down to the Marines when they reward failure?
Well, this is a really big deal, and I talked to a number of Marines about this, and what they say is when they look over someone's record, if they're thinking about, for example, promoting someone or putting someone in a position of real responsibility, when they see a record of someone who's never screwed anything up, never failed, they've been successful at everything they've done, then what they're concerned about is this may be a person who simply isn't tackling the very toughest jobs. If you're tackling the toughest jobs, and if you're being creative about it, and if you're pushing your limits and your boundaries, and you're challenging yourself and the people who depend on you, then you have to fail pretty much by definition. To never fail means you're not taking on the really big challenges. And the Marines don't really have as much respect for that as someone who takes on those challenges and, of course, usually is able to conquer them, but inevitably will occasionally fail. And so the Marines let you know that it's okay, and, in fact, it's a good sign when occasionally things get so tough that you just can't get the job done. They don't want you to think about failure while you're doing the mission. You must succeed. But if afterwards you really have done everything you can and it still didn't work out, you get a big pat in the back on the Marines.
So back to my analogy of Thomas Edison, it's just keep going. And like Gunny Ermey said, they taught me not to fail. But if there are failures, just keep going. Keep moving to 70% solution. Something else here. Leadership is defined as the ability to have others follow you. Comment on that.
Yes. The Marines have really interesting ideas about what makes a good leader. For one thing, they don't think there's one style that a good leader always follows. They tell you to work with whatever your style is. And, of course, now most people in the public who aren't familiar with the Marines tend to think of the Marines in terms of the classic Hollywood drill instructor who is putting his face or her face right in the face of younger Marines who are training, and spittle is getting all over their face, and they're insulting them and making them do push-ups. And in fact, you do, and that really is probably an accurate portrayal of many drill instructors. However, it's not the typical Marine officer. There are Marine officers and leaders who will yell and will insult and will cajole. But many are very soft-spoken, extremely soft-spoken, and really don't get in anybody's face, and they don't use insults. They're very, very positive. That's much more common in the Marines. But the one thing that they really look for in a leader is people follow you. They don't follow you necessarily because they're afraid of you. They just, for whatever reasons, and it's different for every leader, people will do what you say. Some people seem to command that respect from their fellow Marines, or it could be in the business world, from the people who are around you. And the Marines really, really, from day one, are looking for those people. Those are the people who really thrive in the Marines.
Now, when I talked with Gunny Ermey, he said a comment that when he welcomed the young recruits in their civilian clothes just standing there on the parking lot, that he never swore, he never used foul language. And you know, when you think about that, and then you listen to whenever you have a chance to hear that, you actually know, and that's part of it. They don't have to use the language, and they use, I don't know, what would you call it, Dale, sort of selective mental...
Intimidation.
But and on the other hand, the leaders of the Marine Corps, and they don't hit people. I think that was only anecdotal that happened.
I think a lot of that's anecdotal, and a lot of people in the movies, that's what they think that the audience wants to see. And when you talk to regular Marines, they said, yes, they were in your face, but they wanted you to do things the right way.
Do it.
Because what they're teaching you to do is how to survive. And I think that's the message, and I think the same message is in here. I was reading, along with your comment about building authority on demand into the hierarchy, I was wondering if you could talk about that for a second. This is something that I really, really am interested in.
And I had that one starred.
Sorry, you brought me in here, so I'm going to ask the question.
David, answer that.
Sure. Hey, it starred in my book, too. It's probably my favorite one, and I think it's one of the ones that's most widely applicable in everything from the business world to parenting, and I think it's often neglected. And the idea here is, of course, you need a hierarchy. Things would be crazy if in any organization, whether it's the Marines or a business or even in the home, if everybody had equal authority and no one had the right to say, look, get this done. You've got to have some sort of system that puts some people in a position to call the shots. And certainly in the military and in the Marines, when a lawful order is issued, the people must follow it. You can't have people questioning, especially on the battlefield. As the many, many Marines pointed out, they measure the success of their principles in body bags. When that's your motivator, that is pretty serious. They make mistakes. Young people die. And so they've really had a lot of time to think about this, a lot of motivation for getting it right. And so you can't have people questioning orders, lawful orders, in difficult situations. However, having said that, there are times when, for example, the chain of command isn't intact. You're not in touch with the people who are your bosses, who are giving you the lawful orders. And that can certainly happen in the battlefield. It happens all the time. Or it may be for whatever reasons, and there are many reasons for this, that managers have not given you very, very specific orders. That officers do that as well. It's something else we can talk about later on. But in any case, there are times when you don't have an order that tells you exactly what to do. And in that case, it would be very damaging if Marines just fell apart and didn't know what to do. And so the Marines make sure that their people understand that whatever your rank, whatever your situation, if you don't have a direct order that tells you exactly what to do, it's up to you. Take initiative. Mm-hmm. Be in charge. Take charge. Make the decisions you have to make. Improvise. Adapt. And the Marines are really, really strong about making sure everybody in the organization understands this, knows how to think creatively, to invent when they have to, and to really have the guts and the internal strength to make those tough decisions when there's no one telling you what to do.
Well, that brings us to the focus on the end. So we've only got about 30 seconds before our halfway break. The Marine leadership focus on what to do and how to do it. Is that correct? I know that's correct, but very quickly, can you give us a quick analysis of that? What to do and how to do it?
Sure. One of the things the Marines recognize, and it's particularly true in the battlefield, but I think you see it in all walks of life, is there are too many things that could possibly happen that are unanticipated. And therefore, you can't possibly sketch out for everybody everything that's going to happen and what exactly you need to do in that situation. So what they do is they enable people to understand a lot of situations. They encourage telling stories so that people can see a lot of different scenarios and how Marines acted successfully or unsuccessfully in those situations. And then they encourage you to try to apply those situations to any situation you might be in. So they can't tell you exactly what you're going to face, but they can tell you a lot of things that other people have faced. And maybe you can find one of those stories when you need it in your mind, in your memory, and you can apply that lesson to a new situation. And that's very important for the Marines.
Thank you very much. David Friedman, who will be back on our program right after this break. You're listening to Veterans Radio right here on WDEO.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. PFC.
Are you a veteran small business owner interested in federal contracting, developing your business, or networking with other small businesses? If so, the National Veterans Small Business Conference, June 26 to 29 at Detroit's Cobo Center, is the place to be. Sponsored by the Department of Veterans Affairs, this is the premier event for veteran-owned small businesses and the door to federal contracting opportunities. Register today by visiting www.nationalveteransconference.com.
This is one of them. PFC Sammy Davis is often called the real Forrest Gump. Details after this. Davis enlisted in the Army. He volunteered for the artillery because his father had been an artilleryman in World War II and then asked to be sent to Vietnam. In November 1967, his unit was helicoptered into Fire Base Cudgels. Shortly after midnight, Battery C came under a heavy mortar attack. At the same time, 1,500 Viet Cong launched an intensive ground assault. Davis's squad was operating a 105-millimeter howitzer that fired 18,000 beehive darts in each shell. When he saw how close the VC were, he took over a machine gun and provided cover for his crew. Convinced they couldn't survive the attack, he rammed a shell into the gun and fired point blank into the enemy. A mortar round exploded nearby, knocking Davis to the ground, but he got up and kept firing the howitzer. When he ran out of beehives, he fired a white phosphorus shell, and then the last round he had, a propaganda shell filled with leaflets. He heard yelling from the other side of the river, and despite the fact that he couldn't swim, paddled across on an air mattress. Other GIs followed him. He found three wounded soldiers, gave them morphine, and provided covering fire as another GI helped one of the wounded across the river. Davis pulled the other two through the water on the air mattress and resumed the fight. Just before dawn, Davis was wounded in the back and buttocks by friendly fire. President Johnson presented him the Medal of Honor on November 19, 1968. Footage of LBJ putting the medal around Davis's neck appeared in the movie Forrest Gump, with Tom Hanks's head substituted for Davis's. Gump's fictional citation was loosely based on Davis's real one. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Yeah, we're nagging, and you know why we're nagging, folks? Because we want to keep our program on the air. This is your program. This is not our program. This is your program. Veterans Radio is for you, the veteran. We bring your stories. What's she going to tell? Hmm? The wife, the kids? Nah, they don't want to hear all that stuff anymore. Hmm? So how about it, folks? And we've had a great response. We're getting emails. We're getting some nice comments from the cards and the checks. Thank you very much. So every little bit helps, of course. We always like to really see some nice contributions, some nice donations, right, Dale?
Absolutely, Bob. And we apologize for the nag. We want to thank Joan Jett for that. But, yes, we do need your support.
We're going to nag them.
We need your support. We need you to send your contributions to Veterans Radio at P.O. Box 3085. That's P.O. Box 3085, Ann Arbor, Michigan, 48106.
And you won't hear us nag you, or will you?
Well, you do until we get enough to pay our bills.
There we go. Okay, Chauncey. Okay, we're back on Veterans Radio, and I have with me as my guest today, author David H. Friedman of Core Business and the 30 Management Principles of the Marine Corps. But before we get back to, oh boy, I got him, oh, where's Marvin? Darling, we got him on? Okay, he's on, right? Marv, you on there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Marv is a business person in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I think one of the most successful. He has an automotive repair, but it's just not your average automotive repair. It is, people waiting outside, folks, to get in. So he must be knowing what he's doing. He was a Marine, and, you can't say former. He is a Marine. Hoorah! Right, Marvin?
That is correct, Bob.
And Marvin is part of the VVA, and I see him every now and then at the meetings. Marvin, you've been on the program before, but once again, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, thanks, Bob, Dale, and Nina. It's good to be on.
Okay, man. You have author David Friedman on the line. Our listeners, tell us about some of the Marine principles that you were able to put to use when you started your business.
Well, I like all these principles that David has, and I'm going down the list, and particularly number one, aim for the 70% solution. There is no perfect plan, and you have to take a chance. You have to do something once in a while. I used to have partners, and I used to bring a plan to the table, and they would pick it apart. They'd find something wrong. It was frustrating time after time. Eventually, one day, I grabbed the table that we were sitting at, and I started dragging it across the room. I was going to throw it out the door. And they said, "What are you doing?" And I says, "This table has a spot on it. It can no longer work as a table for us." Trying to get the point across that you implement your plan, you can make adjustments as you go, you can fine-tune. That's the adapt part of the whole thing. I also like this, organize according to the rule of three. Benjamin Franklin said, never make a list longer than three, or else you get overwhelmed a little bit. David's rule number six is, even at the lowest levels, it encouraged people at the lowest levels to make decisions. We had a corporal in Vietnam run a platoon. That was a lieutenant's job. We didn't have a lieutenant to fill the spot. This man stepped up and he did it. And that is to his credit, of course. The reward failure thing that you touched on before is very, very important. You learn more when you fail.
Mm-hmm.
If a person does do everything perfect all the time, then what happens when something he does fail? Can he meet the test? It's a true test of character that when the chips are down, the person, he or she, has the will to overcome and adapt. Same thing like in a firefight. If you're in a firefight and something goes south, you have to be able to adapt. You have to be able to overcome.
You always want to. Hi, Marv. This is Dale.
Hi.
You always want to have people that can adapt and adjust to adversity.
Exactly.
And you know the difference between a hero and somebody who's not a hero is how they react when they're under stress.
That's exactly true.
And
yes.
I think it's so important with business and in the military. You think about all of the enlisted men that helped your mission. Down to the E1 up to the sergeant major, they run the army. And if you always want to have their input. It's just like in a business. You always want to have the input of your employees because they might have the thing that's going to make your business a huge success.
Yeah, that's true, Dale. Everybody has a little different slant to how they see something. And
Right. Sometimes
my eyes have been opened really wide by those different views.
Yeah.
So that you're saying that a lot of the tenets of David Friedman's book are things that you've used when you've been in business.
Yes. Unwittingly knowing that, you know, I mean, I never really went and said, well, this is what the Marine Corps taught me. But looking back, yeah, I have to admit that I learned a lot of these things while I was in the Marine Corps. This thing about learning not to fail, or, you know, what Gunny Ermey said, it's not that you never fail, it's that you keep going until you win.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, folks, that Mr. Rivers has implemented in his business, because I've known Marv, what have we known each other, about 30 years, something like that?
It's been a long time, Bob.
It's
wow.
been a while, yeah. And by the way, Marv calls himself a karma-canic.
Yes, sir.
Okay, karma-canic, there we go.
Yeah, that's karma with a K.
With a K, there you go, and canic with a K, too.
And canic with a K, yep.
Now, when I first met Marv, and he talked about his business plan, he had two other partners, and the three of them rotated every month. Somebody would be in the front office handling the books, and 30 days later they'd rotate to the back, and they would perhaps have different jobs in the back that required heavier work, and that would go to somebody else. And every month they'd rotate, and somebody else would get up there in the front. Now, that was to what I saw to distribute ideas, so one person doesn't get stale. Is that how it all worked out, Marv?
Yeah, that's correct. And what you're doing is if you're I'm a very small businessman, not the likes of Mike Gillich or Tom Monahan. Of course, I'm just very, very small. But the idea was that when you're in the back room and you're wrenching, you just have a certain view. When you're up front and you're facing the customer, there's a different kind of politics going on. And you needed to rotate to keep everybody fresh air. Mechanics have a tendency to get spoiled in the back room. And if they have to face the customer, then you understand what the other guy has to go through when he's up there and he has to face the customer.
Well, that's another point that David Friedman. David, are you there right now?
Mm-hmm. You bet.
You talk about cross-training and distribute competence. I think that's what Marv was talking about, cross-training by letting his partners and he rotate. Is that correct?
Yes, and it's great to hear how Marvin has really done some of these things. As he says, not because these were a list of principles that the Marines gave him, but this is probably the kind of stuff that he was exposed to in the Marine Corps. The Marines like to lead by examples, and I think you learn this stuff in 100 different ways. And then Marvin, like many Marines I've spoken to, after their active duty, were very, very successful in the business world and civilian life in general because of using some of these principles, and cross-training is one of them. The Marines don't stick someone in a job and leave them there for 20 years. They pull you out of your comfort zone. You get good at one thing, they say, great, now that you've gotten good at it, we're going to get you good at something else. And the result is an organization that works really well together because everybody cares about what everybody else is doing, everybody has an understanding of what other people are doing, and people are multi-talented, and in confusing and unexpected situations, that comes in incredibly handy.
You hit it on the head, David, by pulling you out of your comfort zone, and that's a great learning tool.
That's right. That's right. And I heard that from a lot of Marines. Because, look, I mean, how long does it take us to get really good at something? And the Marines might leave you in a position for 2-3 years, and then they yank you right out, and they may send you somewhere else in the world. It might be a very, very different sort of position. And people can find that a little disorienting. And, of course, that can be hard on families, too. Of course it is. But the Marines get a lot out of it. They really do. And it's great to see them bring it to the business world as well, as you have, Marvin.
Well, thank you, sir.
Well, yes, and I have been witness to that. And I have actually told other folks about that in the business world. There happened to be a establishment in Ann Arbor, Michigan that did that. And I know it happened to be a pub, but they did the same thing. I think they had 7 employees, the Del Rio. And 1 week there was one working in the back room or 1 month and doing the books, and then somebody else was at the door checking IDs. And then somebody else was behind the bar, and that's how they cross-train But everybody could step in case if somebody was absent. Okay, Marvin, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you, Bob.
Hoorah.
Hoorah.
I'll see you at the VVA meeting.
Thursday night. We'll see you there, Bob.
God bless.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Boy, that was really something. David, we're coming back. Oh, we're getting on our second break. Let's just go right to the bump right after this, okay, Nina? So we'll be right back right after this bump. Okay, can you guess what that was, Dale?
I don't know what it was, but it cost us a lot of money to get Sousa in the studio to be able to play those things.
Well, I know, but that's called the March of the Women Marines.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be, wow, that's, I guess that is part of the a part of the Marine principle. Is this book, your book, on the desk of every CEO in America, David?
Oh, I seriously doubt it.
Maybe that's the problem we're having today, huh?
Yeah, I'd love to think so. I wouldn't give that much credit on myself, though. But it is. I have seen it on the desks of several CEOs, and I got some nice compliments on it. But most important, I got some nice validation from people like Marvin and others in the business community who did serve in the Marines. And by the way, in the other armed forces as well. I mean, even though I focus in on the Marines here, and I think there are many things that are unique to the Marines. Of course, many of these principles do apply, I've been told, by others in the other armed forces to what they do as well, and they have their own unique, wonderful principles. So, but I have gotten some nice validation, and it's great to hear. It really is.
Well, I know we have business people that are listeners, or we have family members of business people. Go out and buy this book. Father's Day is coming up. How's that for a segue, right? Father's Day is coming up, and what a gift could you give them the fact of leadership for their business, even how big and how small. That's right, how big and how small. Tell us, David, how can they get your book online?
Oh, it's still available, for example, on Amazon.com, and I've seen it show up a lot of places, so a good old Google search on the book Core Business generally will turn it up. And as I say, it's right on Amazon. Luckily, it's still in print after all these years. It still sells.
It will sell, and I think this is a great gift, if you want to call it, a gift for returning veterans, those that are getting out of their service today, because it gives them the opportunity to focus on what they learn. As Marv pointed out, and as I was thinking as you were talking, yeah, we knew these principles when we got out of the service, and we've probably been employing them over the last number of years, but we didn't realize that this is where we got them from. And these returning veterans need all the help they can get to find jobs, and I think if they bring, you know, along with their plan that they understand this, I think that's going to endear them to their employers. I was thinking a little bit too late now, but to get them down to the Detroit Job Fair, Veterans Job Fair on the 26th through the 29th, I think we should just carry around a box of books and say, here, this is something that you guys need.
Did you hear that? David Friedman, where are you going to be on the 26th of June?
Well, actually, oddly enough, I'm going to be in India, of all places, on the 26th of June.
The other side of the world.
That's right. I do some work in terms of helping some of the starving people in the world, and the Marines do, too. A lot of what the Marines do is actually helping people around the world who are in distress. A lot of people don't realize that. They're not just a combat force. A lot of what they do is humanitarian, and many Marines volunteer their time to do it. Sometimes it's official, but sometimes they do it on their own. It's really that kind of organization.
I want to read some reviews that I picked up on the Internet. Here is from the chairman of Federal Express, which is
Fred Smith.
He says, reading it reminded me of how much I have relied upon what I learned in the Marine Corps. And moving right along here. In the Marines, I met a manager. In my workplace, I met a manager there who didn't know the names of their of their immediate of their employees, and the Marines' immediate supervisors know not only the names of their subordinate family members, but they know their family members as well. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Friedman, who interviewed more than 100 Marines, talked about the Marine values included sacrifice, perseverance, integrity, all part of the business world. Well, we could use that. Okay. So that to me sounds like the essence, and the essence of being a Marine and applying these principles. So finding the essence, when does it come time to act, and how do you do that, David?
And that's a key question, because we live in a complicated world. The battlefield can be extremely complicated and confusing, and it can be confusing whether you're running a auto repair shop or a grocery store or a chain of pizza shops, whatever it is, you're going to be facing complex situations. And what good leaders can do, and people who are effective, is they can cut through all the complexity and they can get to the one thing they need to figure out about the situation that will help them decide what they need to do. Because whatever you're thinking, whatever you're feeling, what counts is what you actually do. What action are you going to take? What's that decision going to be? What order are you going to issue? And to do that, you need to be able to cast aside all the confusing things that may not matter and get to the one thing that really matters. Can you see this situation as simple in some way? Even though it's not really simple, can you come up with a simplified version of it that enables you to make a clear decision that you'll then be able to act on? And that's what one thing that Marines are really exposed to throughout their careers. Figure out what to do. It's complicated, but there is something you can do about the situation. Figure it out and do it.
Well, you know what? That sounds to me like a good recruiting phrase, huh, Dale? We ought to maybe talk to the recruiters. No, really, all the families out there, all you young men that are listening to this program, you know, I think about what happens when you come out of high school. You go right into college. Yeah, that sounds great, but You need to start formulating as an adult. Unfortunately, that's the way it is in this society. We have to be productive.
I'm going back to what you said about the idea of the other services utilizing so many of these same tenets as that we learned. We weren't aware of learning them at the time, but that it's really helpful to you. I'm going through your list, and one of the things I saw, and it'd be nice if our politicians would follow this course, and that's to establish a core identity, and everybody in the organization can follow it. You know, it's like, what is your mission, and how are you going to achieve that mission? And it's just like every business needs to do that. You know, what is your point? What is it that you want to accomplish, and how are you going to get there, as you point out, in three steps?
Well, and they call that organizational doctrine. It is a living thing because it evolves. Isn't that right, David?
Absolutely. The Marines have had well over 200 years to figure a lot of this stuff out. Of course, as I said before, they have the most serious and grim way possible of recognizing when they've done something wrong, by so many people making the ultimate sacrifice. So that's great motivation for getting it right, and they've had a lot of time to do it. And yet, at the same time, with all this tradition, and having learned after all this time, the Marines are very, very quick to come up with a new way of doing something. They're constantly shaking things up. The Marines have been at the forefront of reinventing warfare with every major war over the decades, and they're doing it again right now. They have laboratories. They do experiments. They run these massive training exercises that are designed to test new technologies, new way to, whether it's take a beach or to storm a stronghold. They have figured out great ways to do it, and they're always ready to throw it out and try to come up with new great ways to do it. So they don't get stuck on something. They keep experimenting, and I think that's great for any business.
Once again, David, how can somebody get your book? It's Father's Day is coming up.
Sure. And Amazon's probably the easiest way to do it. But there are many other fine bookstores that also that I'm fortunate enough to be able to say still carry the book.
Well, we want to thank you very much for being on our program. And I'd like to invite you to come back again. There's just so much that we could be covering here. And I wanted to touch on the highlights just to give everybody a little bit of a teaser. So when we have you back on again, David Friedman, isn't that right? Would you like to come back?
I would be honored.
And I won't have to chase you down this time. I lost his original phone number. Yeah, I know. And I had, he's a busy guy. He's all over the place.
Well, he's going to be in India.
India. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for being on the program.
Oh, thanks to both of you for having me. Really an honor to be here.
Okay, God bless. Mm-hmm. Wow, Dale.
Hey.
I know. Where do we
reach across here?
Oh, you need the flyer? What?
No, I want to make sure that people understand that this is the book.
Oh.
Core Business, the 30 Management Principles of the United States Marines by David H. Friedman. It's fascinating. Civilian and military alike should just go through the list of things, and I bet you will improve your business 100-fold
maybe even
within a year.
Maybe even, you know, because there's a lot of parental. David was talking about that there's parental principles here, too.
Well, when you raise your child, you should have, you know, rules to follow.
That's
and somebody
right.
could step in, as he mentioned, the family. I was thinking about the cross-training that's necessary for everybody, because if somebody falls off to the side for whatever reason, I mean, we have to do it here. And I think every business should have that opportunity.
When we lost Gary.
Yeah, or any business that's out there. What happens when the head, you know, passes away or is disabled for whatever reason? That's important.
Well, what do we have next?
Plan.
We have 19 seconds. What do we have next week?
Oh, next week on Veterans Radio, we're going to be talking to George Washington, U.S. Grant, General Eisenhower, MacArthur.
Oh, how are we going to do that?
We're going to be doing the history of the United States Army. It's their birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Army. 4-3. This is Veterans Radio. You are dismissed.